I've been a pastor and a counselor for over 30 years now. And I want to talk to you about something that I think needs to be talked to that I had to discover after some years of doing counseling. And maybe you've already run into it. What do you do with someone who keeps going back to their sin after you've already done everything you know to teach them, put off and put on? And you've tried to get below the surface to the sin beneath the sin and talk about heart issues, motivating heart issues. Where do you poke? Where do you turn? And what would you focus on then in your counseling? Well, I want to talk to you about what I think is a missing ingredient so many times in our counseling as we try to help people fight against sin, as well as fighting in our own fight. And I think you can see the missing ingredient spelled out in Titus chapter 2. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Titus chapter 2, and you follow along as I begin reading in verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us to say no to ungodliness, worldly lust, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Here's what I want you to get first. Number one, the focus of your counseling has to be leading your counselees into a deeper relationship with Jesus, not just dispensing biblical principles. It's about a relationship with Jesus. At salvation and the process of sanctification is not, I needed Jesus at the beginning and now I just need biblical principles all along the way with some accountability and someone meeting with me one-on-one and holding me accountable. People need to be in a vibrant, living, loving, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ to be able to say no to sin. And so often I think that's what is missing. And here's why. Here's why they need that. Here's why I need it and you need it. Because Christ is the King of grace. And so apart from an intimate, warm, vibrant, living, worshipful relationship with him, your counselees will struggle to obey biblical principles just lifted from the pages of Scripture and dropped in their lap and saying, this is what you need to do next. Less of that, more of this. Less of that, more of this. Now just do it. Ed Welch put it this way: when principles or steps wander from Christ himself, they become self-serving guidelines. They make our marriages, families, friendships, and work go better, but the goal is our own betterment instead of the glory of God. Be good and do right are fine messages, but when they stand alone, they have more in common with the Boy Scouts handbook than Scripture. Remember that in the Bible, this is who God is and what he's done always precedes this is what you must do. Action follows our knowledge of God and trust in him. It is as if God has said to us, now that you have seen who I am, you'll want to love me in return. As we counsel, we need to keep in mind how God even put the Bible together for us. It was no accident. It's not random. He gave thought to this, I believe. You think about how many New Testament letters. Yes, the New Testament churches and believers had the same kind of problems that we do today. And Paul or Peter, whoever was writing, never just jumped in with immediate answers and biblical principles to the problems they were struggling with. There were always multiple chapters leading up to the now do this, stop that, that reminded believers, here's who God is and here's who you are in Christ now. They're not just clearing their throat. They're not just spinning their wheels. And we can be guilty sometimes. I've heard people say before, as a biblical counselor now, my Bible just falls open to Ephesians 4. I sort of get it, because that's where that practical stuff starts with marriage and parenting and therefore walk this way, live this way. But you need to realize many times the reason our counselees can't do or don't have the power or desire to do what those chapters are saying do, is they've lost sight of who this God is, what he's done, and who they are in Jesus Christ now. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 are glorious, glorious indicative chapters. They're not telling you to do anything. It's not an imperative. There's no commands. It's just one glorious, run-on, indicative passage of truth about, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. He just goes on about who you are, what God's done. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You have the promise. You've been given this. You've been given this. This is who you are now. And it's only then that he says, therefore, chapter 4, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Colossians is set up the same way. Colossians 1 and 2, Christ is superior. Christ, 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 and you're in Christ. Now set your mind on things above. Put off and put on. Book of Romans. He gives us 11 glorious chapters of who God is and what he's done to save us before he says in chapter 12, therefore, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then goes on to give us all kinds of practical particulars of how to live the Christian life in this world. But we need, and our counselees need, to be reminded and stirred up with who God is and what he's done for us. Because our world is so dark and so hard and so confusing, you can lose sight of it and you forget. We are spiritual amnesiacs. So yes, I want to help my counselee practically figure out how to get out of the pit they're in, but I also want to help them remember who they are. Remember who they are and who God is for them. Often, that is what is missing. And I think that's where Titus 2, 11 to 14 comes in, because you can see how this passage changes everything. It takes a simple command to say no to ungodliness and unrighteous living in this world and surrounds it with Jesus. You notice? This command to say no is surrounded with Jesus and who he is and what he's done. Because remember, sin is what we do, this is John Piper, when we're not satisfied in God. We don't just go here and do this. It's an indication I wouldn't be doing this as much. It would not be as attractive to me. I would not struggle as much to say no if I had a greater satisfaction in who God is. Sin is what we do when we're not satisfied in God. And so our counselees don't just need accountability in fighting their sin. They also need to be led into a vital, satisfying relationship with Christ. Number two, you need to help your counselees, taste and see the goodness of God in Christ so that they are ruined for anything else. Think about it. The Bible does not talk in cold, didactic, sterile terms. The Bible is warm and intimate. God is a person. He wants us to be in relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. And so it's vitally important that I be tasting regularly the things of God, the presence of God, the goodness of God, my delight in God, so that as I head out into this world and as this world pummels me with so much that distracts and so much that could trap me, I'm not living hungry and easily given in to these things. Just like going to the grocery store, right? We all know, don't go hungry. Do not go hungry. That's not the time to shop. I'll find myself in an aisle eating things I would never eat. I try to eat healthy. I drink tons of water. I use a Ninja every morning and I grind vegetables and fruits, but yours truly could find himself in the aisle grabbing boxes of Twinkies and unwrapping them and just stuffing them in my mouth so that when I get up to the register, I have to send this little cellophane wrapper through this and say, that was a Twinkie. I already ate it. What's going on? I was hungry. But when you've had Oh, think about it. When you had a grilled steak with grilled